Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influencer with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Well, hello and welcome. This is the Conservative Crusader here at GOPJosh.com. Glad to be with you all today, as always. Now, I told you all on Wednesday that I would not be doing the program today because of our live coverage of the Ohio Republican Party State Central Committee meeting. That coverage still happened. It was very successful. We were the only live coverage in the room of the meeting, the only live coverage when they endorsed President Trump. We were in the room with cameras, something they tried to stop. They didn't allow us to have press credentials, but I had a civil conversation with the communications director. He made sure everything was running smoothly. So I appreciate that from the Ohio Republican Party. We're going to get to that a little bit later in the program. But with the news that happened today, the packed slate of articles I have in front of me, I couldn't just not do a program tonight. There would be a dereliction of duty if I didn't. So we're glad to be here. Just starting out tonight here at the Friday, December 1st, year of our Lord, 2023. Happy Friday. Happy December. The last month of the year before we go full swing into the major election season before we go into the holiday season here, obviously, as well. And I hope you all have a great holiday season. Obviously, we're going to do more programs before then, but I wanted to get that out of the way as well. A lot of news today, and it wasn't supposed to be a big news day, but it was. Congressman George Santos, friend of the show, the only congressman I've actually ever had on this program, has been expelled from Congress. George Santos, my guy, the guy that I'm backing. You know, I wholeheartedly support this gentleman because not only because of what he's done in Congress, but because he's genuine. He's a real person. And that's something the left can't stand. And George Santos has voted the right way. He's done the right things in Congress. And that's all something that the radicals want to take away. The establishment uniparty wants to take away. He doesn't vote with Kevin McCarthy all the time. He doesn't vote with Mike Johnson all the time. He doesn't vote with the party all the time. He's a real guy. And I'm incredibly proud to say that I backed him while he was in Congress. He is a good gentleman, and I'm sad to see him go. And I'm wholeheartedly saying that. Whether the accusations made against him are true or not, he should have had the chance to be tried in a court of law. Congressman D'Esposito, or whatever his name is, I call him Congressman D'Esposito. I actually Googled, I forgot his name, so I Googled D'Esposito Congressman. So it's D'Esposito, he's Anthony, he's from New York's 4th, so it's right there. Obviously, George Santos is from New York's 3rd, who led to the expulsion. He's a freshman member of Congress himself, he's never served before, and he decided to make precedent today because he felt like expelling George Santos. Because he felt like being this holier-than-thou kind of guy. Now, let's be honest here. We have a convicted criminal sitting in the U.S. House of Representatives, voted for the expulsion of Congressman George Santos. His name is Jamal Bowman. He pled guilty to pulling the fire alarm He did a lot more than that. He disrupted a congressional process. He is a criminal, convicted criminal. Bowman, he should not be in Congress. But they still allowed him to sit there. He pled guilty. He has been convicted. He made a plea deal, but he would have been convicted. He had pled guilty. And he is still sitting in Congress today. George Santos has had no due process under the law. It has been tainted with by the Justice Department. And not the Justice Department, the Ethics Committee, I apologize. And everything that's been done has been something to take him down personally. Not because of what he's done in Congress, but because they wanted to take him down personally. I am ashamed of the Republican Party today. And I like to celebrate the little victories. We're going to get to a couple little victories later in the program. But I'm incredibly disgusted with the Republican Party today. Let's pull up the actual vote total. I don't know the whole total off the top of my head. I hate to tell you. But it was not a good look for our party. The left is able to stay so united. They're so together on everything. Here's the vote from C-SPAN. 105 Republicans voted yay, 112 voted nay. 206 Democrats voted for, 2 against, 3 not voting. The total 311 to 114. So what's the point of having a Republican Party, of having a Democrat Party, of having separate parties, if we're just going to not stick with our people? We have a very, very slim majority. We're going at this today as not even having a secure majority next year. We're going to lose the majority very likely in 2024 because of the way we act. We have actual crime going on within the Justice Department, within the country, and we can't even make a resolution to impeach Secretary Mayorkas, to impeach Christopher Wray. Every time a motion's laid to the table, Republicans vote against it. But we have the theatrics of the C-SPAN cameras going out recording and taking down the sign that says Representative George Santos. Our priorities are so messed up as a country and as a Congress, really. Our country doesn't care about any of this. But as a Congress, we are more worried about taking down a good conservative congressman. I believe that the TPUSA thing had about like 96% voting in the right way 96% of the time. He is a good congressman. He does good things for New York's 3rd District. He represents them well. He represents their values. And they're more worried about taking him down because they don't feel like having him in Congress, having him as a colleague. I'm tired of seeing it. Max Miller. We've talked about him a lot on the program. Never favorably. Max Miller said the campaign from Santos illegally charged his credit card past FEC limits, including his mother's credit card, and he will vote to expel. Here's what this message said from Max Miller he sent out to his colleagues. Late yesterday on the floor, I alluded to a personal impact of Representative Santos's conduct. Earlier this year, I learned that the Santos campaign had charged my personal credit card and the personal card of my mother for contribution amounts that exceeded FEC limits. Neither my mother or I approved these charges or were aware of them. We have spent tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees in the resulting follow-up. I have seen roughly 400 people, other people to whom the Santos campaign allegedly did this. I believe some other members of this conference might have had the same experience. While I understand the position of those who will vote against the expulsion resolution, my personal experience related to the allegations and the findings of the Ethics Committee compel me to vote for the resolution. That's from Max Miller. Max Miller has a lot of accusations of his own. If we're going off accusations, do I have this clip saved here of George Santos? I don't. We'll find it because it's too good to miss and pass up on. Here we go.
You, sir, are a crook. I know I should direct my comments to the chair. I yield back.
My colleague wants to come up here, call me a crook. Same colleague who's accused of being a woman beater. Are we really going to ignore the facts that we all have passed and we all have the media coming out against us on a daily basis? I can go and read about all my colleagues. I'm not going to stand here to smear them. I'm not going to stand here and use the time I have to say ill things about my colleagues. I refuse to stoop to that level.
You, sir, are a crook.
So if we're going to base this on accusations, expel Max Miller next. Send him back to Congress. Send him back to whatever district it is. Back after this.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Fiverr is the world's largest marketplace for digital services, offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform. If you need to buy something, sell something, or whatever you want to do on Fiverr, just go to bit.ly/GOPJoshFiverr today to get your gig or to put your gig on Fiverr and help support the program as well. That is bit.ly/GOPJOSHFiverr, FIVERR.
This is the Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader. Hope you're all well. Just got back off that break with talking about George Santos. What a guy. I mean, I'd love to have him back on the program. Love to just talk to him. He's a great man. He was very kind to me and my friends when I went to D.C., and I hope him and wish him all the best in the future. Listen, if you want to help support the program, keep the content you love on the air. We have a lot of people that were praising us for our coverage of the Ohio Republican Party State Central Committee meeting today. If you want to make that possible, make that actually happen, make all this sort of content happen, you can support us over on Patreon, patreon.com/GOPJosh. It is the easiest way to support the program for as little as $3 a month, and that $3 goes a long way. I had to pay $25 for parking today to live stream this event, folks. Now, that's not a lot of money, but it adds up really quick. So we appreciate your support there, and I'm not going tonight. It would be happening right now as I do this program, where the Ohio Republican Party would be having their $150 a plate dinner with Kristi Noem. The venue looks nice. We know we actually got to see it being, set up while I was waiting during executive session today of the Ohio Republican Party. Which, for those who don't know, the executive session is when they close the doors to the public. So they can discuss where they're failing internally. But the venue looks great. It's going to be a great event, I'm sure. I'm not paying the $150 a ticket. And someone replied on Twitter, hey, you should just let people fund for you. We'll give your followers the chance to pay your ticket. Now, that's a great offer and all, but I'm not gonna crowdfund money to pay for a ticket for a dinner. $150 for one meal is crazy. I could get like 20 pizzas for that. But also, I'm not really interested in asking for money when it's not necessary. And I believe the content we make and we produce for you all on this program with our live coverage, everything like that, I believe it is worth the investment. And so if you're willing to do that, you can go to patreon.com/GOPJosh, but the program will remain free. So this is an interesting story here where we have Congress focusing on the wrong things yet again. We have them focusing on expelling George Santos, doing this and that with George Santos. Representative Loudermilk confirms all videotapes from the January 6th committee depositions are gone. This is from Just the News, which is John Solomon's operation. Representative Larry, do we have a video here from it? Oh, we have a video of him saying it. We're going to put that up here on screen. This is Real America's Voice. A great TV channel. I'm a big fan. When I'm not doing this program, if I'm watching TV, that's what I'm watching. So let's put this up on the screen here for you.
Of Cassidy Hutchinson's, the ones where she's now changing her testimony through the errata that they are missing, they are gone.
That is true. I can confirm that. And all of the videotapes of all depositions are gone. Again, we found out about this early in the investigation when I received a call from someone who was looking for some information off one of the videotapes. And we started searching.
They put an ad right in the middle of this video. Great. But you heard a lot of that there.
Searching, and we had none. I wrote a letter to Benny Thompson asking for them, and he confirmed that they did not preserve those tapes. He didn't feel that they had to, but according to House rules, you have to preserve any data and information and documents that are used in an official proceeding, which they did. They actually aired portions of these tapes on their televised hearings, which means they had to keep those. But yet he chose not to. I believe they exist somewhere. We've just got to find where all these videos are. And here's why it's so important. Even with Cassidy Hutchins, people have asked, why do you need the videos? You've got written transcripts. Well, when you've got someone like Cassidy who is significantly changing her testimony, I want to see what her body language is when she gave her original testimony. Yeah. I want to see what her voice inflection is. Was she very confident in what she was saying at that time, but then later decided to change it? This is why it's so important that we have those videotapes, and I believe that's probably why we don't have them.
So that is Barry Loudermilk, who is from Georgia, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, I believe, giving that to Just the News. So here we have another failure of the Republican Party. Hey, I'm going to do that a lot. You know, this is the, and I get critique a lot for being called GOP Josh, but I'm going to use that platform that I have as being kind of a young Republican conservative kind of esque figure to critique the Republican Party from inside the Republican Party. The reason I'm doing that is because we have a lot of failures, right? Our Congress is more focused on trying to take down George Santos, trying to take down true conservative congressmen, then they are getting to the bottom of this mess. Getting to the bottom of these files that are somewhere out there. We don't know where they are. The Republicans don't know where they are. Benny Thompson won't say where they are. So what's the point of having a Congress at all? We are going to the voters in a very short time, and next November, about a year from now, telling them, hey, re-elect us Republicans so we will govern conservatively. What do we have to show for that? What do the grassroots people who go knocking doors, myself included, have to tell the people of Ohio's 15th, of Ohio's 9th, whatever district you might be talking about, that you should send Republicans to Congress? Because all they've done thus far is complain, is blame it on the White House, is expel their fellow members, and lose videotapes like this from the January 6th deposition. Now, do I believe the videotapes are still out there? Yes, I do. But do I believe it's the Republican Party's responsibility as Congress, as the leaders of Congress, the people leading Congress? They are the chairman. We have a Speaker of the House that's a Republican. We have a majority leader that's a Republican. It is their job to get to the bottom of it. Now, why are we not focusing on that? Why is taking down George Santos more important than getting to the bottom of this? Because they don't care. Because the Republican Party is a bunch of charades. It's a bunch of just whatever they can have done. It's a uniparty. They have two parties to make it look like there's opposition and make it look like there's an opposition voice against what this one party's doing. But the massive uniparty that is in control of all of this, in control of every Republican Party, every central committee, most central committees, every Democrat party, every Democrat central committee, the uniparty, the Bushes, the Clintons are all part of this uniparty, right? You saw how they were all smiling and happy every time they're next to each other. Because they're scared of you. They're scared of what you're going to find out. If we have this videotape testimony from the January 6th committee, they're going to be afraid of what's going to be exposed about their false narrative about January 6th. If we had all the videotapes from January 6th, like Mike Johnson said he would release, he's only released 90 hours of 400 hours, we would have the truth. And they're afraid of us having the truth. That's why they try to censor people like me. I haven't talked about this yet. Yet another old podcast of mine was taken off of YouTube and they gave me a strike for it. It was episode 22. I'm on episode, this is 247. Episode 22 from 2021, they took down and gave me a strike for. Trying to take me off of YouTube, trying to take me down yet again. Because we speak the truth on this program. We are the youngest voice in talk radio in the nation. And we are, I am very proud of that. I'm proud to be here. But they're afraid of the voice and the truth we speak. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud that they're scared of us. But it's not really a great look for anyone. When they're so afraid of the voters, they delete information from Congress. So really quickly here, do we have time for another story here? Yeah, we don't. We have to get to this in the next break because it's going to take way too long. If you want to call into the program, we have a phone number. It's 574-675-6747. That's 57-GOP-JOSH-7. That is what that phone number works out to if you like letters in your numbers for some reason. Also, interesting story. There was a bill in the in the Ohio House to end spousal exceptions for rape. Not really sure what the whole deal with that bill is or what it's out there for. I mean, obviously it's a good thing to get rid of that, but I didn't know that was a problem in Ohio. Bill Dean, who is my former representative, he's from Xenia, voted against the bill. Now, I have to say, I'm not really an optics guy. I've been told I have terrible optics many times, but I feel like voting against a bill to get rid of spousal rape is not the best optics that you could have. And so what a guy. So I don't know. We'll see. People didn't vote. A lot of people, 23 people didn't vote on this unanimous bill that were actually there earlier in the day. Interesting. That's some Ohio news. We'll get back to some more in a little bit. After the break, I want to talk about this debate that happened last night on Sean Hannity's program, where he had Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis. The body language of DeSantis is just so wild. You won't get to get the whole experience on the podcast. I encourage you to watch the Rumble video. But what we're going to tell you is incredible about this debate and how weird Ron DeSantis really is. Back after this, this is the Conservative Crusader, the youngest voice on talk radio in the nation. Back after this.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader. This is the Conservative Crusader.
Well, welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader, the top young conservative podcast in the nation. Joining us now, good friend of the program at this point. He's a three-timer, which I believe the only other three-timer in program history is State Representative Brian Stewart. But we have another one on the line. Matthew, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
Hey, Josh. Good to see you tonight. How are you?
Doing great, sir. Hope you are as well. What do you want to call in tonight about?
Excellent. Yeah, I've been kind of in and out. One of those things. I haven't caught all your program. I've had to mute and then tune in. So I'm just kind of winging it here. I mean, on the Santos thing, you know, this representative.
That's definitely the top story of the night. Okay. So feel free.
This representative inspires very different feelings from high quality people for good reason. He's obviously colorful. He's divisive. But I did catch a few minutes of Matt Gaetz's podcast. You know, like you, he broadcasts, he kind of simulcasts to Twitter. And so I popped in there, and his argument was very persuasive that, you know, whether you like Santos or not as a right winger, I mean, this is about the numbers. This is about flipping a seat, probably, or certainly giving the Dems a shot to flip a seat. And it's just totally insane. The Republican Party is so suicidal that their personal grievances against Santos are more important to them than this razor-thin margin Republicans have in the House, especially in the wake of this rather nasty McCarthy to Jordan to our current speaker fight. So just another case of political malpractice by the GOP as a party.
And I've never understand why they're so dumb in that regard, because I know the grassroots people actually have some common sense. The people in the offices have a lot of common sense. I went to probably 50 different congressional offices while I was in D.C. Didn't see all the congressmen, of course, but the staff there were very competent. They actually cared about what was going on. It seems like congressmen don't actually do the same thing, and the Republican Party does nothing but kill itself every time, and I'm tired of it.
It's because I think the Republican elected class has become so deracinated, if you will, from a sort of sane political calculus. They've become so alien to that it's really very personal to them. You know, they just hate Gaetz because of what he did to McCarthy. But whenever they wield power, that's fair game. You're just supposed to accept it. So that, what is it, Max Miller, the guy who had the spat with Santos today? Is it Miller?
Yeah, it's Miller. He's quite the guy. You remember that time he, I don't know if you knew this or not, when he told a Christian woman she was a bigot for tweeting about it. A friend of the program.
Absolutely.
Actually, she's a three-timer as well. Now that I think about it, Lizzie Marple.
There you go. I got to call in next week to become the only four-timer in show history. But no, but the Miller, I mean, that's a guy, like what he said today, there's no real like political calculus. It's sort of a liberal style grandstanding, but probably he just hates Santos for some, you know, oh, this guy makes waves and we're not supposed to do that as the Republican Party. That's probably what it is. And so these people are not professionals. They're not operators like Gates is, or like, you know, Gavin Newsom on the bad guy side is like a political operator. He's like takes his job seriously as a political leader. You know, most of the Republican caucus isn't like that. So totally
right. And Max Miller, I haven't actually, I tried to interview him. He promised me an interview when I was going, he was going through the line. The way they have the Trump rally set up when I went to it in Vandalia, Ohio, is they had the VIP section. They had where they had like the State Senator Committee of Republican Party, all the elected officials. They had the pathway where people walked to the stage. They had the gold ticket VIP, which thanks to Jared Majewski, I was in. And so I was there talking to everyone that walked through the line. I was talking to people elected across the line, like, you know, Mike Lindell came through this line. Marjorie Taylor Greene came through this line. And Max, I stopped him and I said, hey, Max, you seem like a great congressman or a potential congressman. This was before he was elected. And I'd love to have you on the show to talk about it. I'm a young conservative. And he said, I'll tell you right now, a lot of the stuff we see, and this isn't a verbatim quote because I can't remember this back to 2022, but he mentioned the idea of everything being political theater. A lot of what's in Congress is BC or whatever you want to acronym you want to use. And he doesn't want to do the political theater thing is what I'm remembering now. I think he's doing that now. What do you think, Matthew?
Yeah, it is theatrics and Santos in a value neutral sense was a very theatrical guy, but that's part of the job in some sense, especially when Congress is so dysfunctional. What's so great about Gates is he really turned his congressional seat into more of a comms role of sort of like, I'm going to promulgate a better spirit throughout the Republican Party. Gates knows that Congress is totally dysfunctional in terms of what bills they're passing or something. Are they doing anything to stop the rot in the country through bills that they're passing? Of course not. So there is an element of theatrics and comms to this, of course. But with Miller, it's a very kind of left-wing psychological spirit of theatrics, and it's not aimed at any kind of functional improvement for the party. It's just bitter.
He's just goofy. He's a wild guy. Well, Matthew, appreciate you calling in as always. Make sure you say next week you got to call in again. Make it a four-timer. And I meant to tell you, I will get those files to you. He asked for the files of the program. I completely forgot, but I will. I didn't forget about you.
I'm building the media book.
Been very busy. Yes. Been very busy, but we will get to that very soon. Appreciate
you
for calling in as well.
Great talking to you, my friend, and have a great show tonight.
Thank you very much. MJKYPTA. Make sure you follow him over on X. Great, great man. Great man. All right. So let's hop into this great state debate, as the, what's his name? Hannity called it. The red versus blue great state debate, which is such a tacky name. I'm not really going to get to the substance of the debate because that really doesn't matter, right? No one was watching this debate for substance. If you went into it agreeing with Congressman Gates, not Gates, why am I saying Congressman Gates? If you went into the debate agreeing with the Republican Party, you're going to agree with DeSantis. If you went into the debate debating or agreeing with Gavin Newsom, you're going to agree with Gavin Newsom. No minds were changed during this debate. It was a bunch of political nonsense, you know. Not Gates. Why do I keep saying Gates? DeSantis pulled out this random card of pornographic material in schools, right? He pulled out the poop map of San Francisco, but it's all theatrics. It's the whole thing. But this guy is so weird. I mean, he is really a weird guy, this supposed presidential candidate. He's standing up there licking his lips every 3 seconds, you know. He's smiling, he's stopping smiling, he's bobbling his head all around, can't stay in the same position. Now, he's mic'd up better than I am, so he can be heard when he does that. But he is just, he's going around, he's smiling, he's frowning, he's bobbly head. He doesn't have the optics of a guy running for president. He doesn't have optics at all. And so I think the values he's putting forward are a good idea when it comes to this debate. And having this debate, actually, I'm going to say, is a good idea. Having a debate between the two, I believe Florida is larger than Texas now, the two largest states with a Republican and a Democrat governor, and having this conversation is a good idea. But when the top Republican governor is Ron DeSantis, I really begin to question if it really is a good idea. Because he's looking over to his side, he's smiling, he's taking his head back, he's looking down at his notes, he's smiling, he's bobbling his head, he's licking his lips. He doesn't have a stationary position. And when he is stationary, when he's like a commercial breaker, he's not being talked to, he just stands there, just smiling like a Ken doll getting ready to be played with Barbie, you know, from that big movie or whatever. He's just like, hey, I'm smiling. Hey, look at me, I'm smiling. No one cares, dude. This guy is so boring. And it was such a boring debate. I joked on Twitter and said, I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to turn on football now. No, I did not turn on football. I watched the majority of the debate till like 8:40 or 9:40. I fell asleep watching the debate. Very rare I fall asleep before 10, 10:30-ish, just letting my mind roam. I fell asleep at 9:40 last night, folks, because of this goofy debate. What a goofy waste of time it was. And he wasn't even talking, and he's bobbling his head around. Because they did a split screen a lot where they had the person talking, Gavin Newsom, and then they had Ron DeSantis just being there. And he's just bobbling around all over the place, you know? And you can't see it if you're not watching on Rumble, but you can hear it in the microphone, the way I'm moving my head around, and I'm, can't hear me anymore, and I'm bobbling like this. He's just bobbling his head all around, like the Trump bobblehead behind me, when I don't have the green screen up. And I'm just, I'm just wilded out about this whole Ron DeSantis situation. He kind of creeps me out. He's a creepy guy. So anyways, when we return, we're going to talk about Frank LaRose, once again, and the Ohio Republican Party, the actual little victory I promised at the beginning of the program, actually happened where I was today. I got to witness a little victory today. Be happy for me, folks. I don't witness a lot of victories in life. But we had an actual victory come out of the Ohio Republican Party. We'll get to that right after the break here on the Conservative Crusader. You're listening to the voice of the future, GOPJosh.com, back after this.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Hey everyone, it's GOP Josh. We can only keep the Conservative Crusader podcast or program that you're listening to right now on the air with your support. We have recently launched a Patreon program where you can support us here at Red Feature Radio for as little as $3 a month. You can find that at patreon.com/GOP Josh. You can also support the program at anchor.fm/theconservativecrusader for as much or as little as you'd like to give. This program will remain free and financial support is not required or expected, but anything to keep us on the air helps. Thank you, folks. And now, back to the Conservative Crusader. From Ohio. Well, welcome back, folks. This is the Conservative Crusader Ohio segment. We talk about the best state in the union, the state where you can kill babies up to 9 months, where you can smoke a joint on the street while you do it. But, you know, I still think it's the best because I live here and you have to have some sort of pride in your state and your country. So we have it. Frank LaRose is our Secretary of State. He's running for U.S. Senate. He is not a guy I really care for. I have publicly endorsed Bernie Moreno running for U.S. Senate. He is a great guy, a great patriot. Hope to see him soon. Maybe have him back on the show. You never know. Ohio Secretary of State LaRose, and this is from the Ohio Capital Journal. Now, for those new to the program, the Ohio Capital Journal, we like to laugh at a little bit. But they are a serious news organization in the way that they are funded by a left-wing radical. They are written by a left-wing radical, and they are a left-wing radical paper. So they have a bunch of left-wing bogus reports, but they actually do state house coverage. No one in the right wing does state house coverage the way that the Ohio Capital Journal does. There's some great Ohio conservative publications out there, the Ohio Star, the Ohio Press Network I pull from often, but none of them do state house reporting quite like the left does. And I'll give this props to, people aren't going to like that I give them props, DJ Burns with the Rooster. Right, he is a very far left person, but he actually goes to the state house and asks the questions everyone wants to know. Maybe not all the time, but he asks good questions, and he's honestly he's a journalist. If you like him or not, he's an activist journalist, but he is a journalist nonetheless. And we don't have those on the Republican Party side outside of James O'Keefe, right? We don't have someone that goes to the state house, records them walking up to people, and just follows them through the building. Now, I don't support following people through parking garages like he does with some members. But I will say that he is a journalist, and he does report on some decent things, and he does have reports for his listeners or his audience that cares about that. And so the Ohio Capital Journal is no different. They actually have people at the State House reporting on the State House. We don't have that on the right wing. And so I pull from the Capital Journal because there's no one doing the same thing on our side that I can pull from. So here's their left-wing paper and the left-wing report. But don't blame me for it. I can't do everything. I do the Ohio Republican Party the best I can. I can't do everything, and I can't be there every day. So the Ohio Secretary of State, and maybe if you support us on Patreon, I could do that one day, but that's not going to be right now. The Ohio Secretary, and I complain a lot, and I interrupt myself a lot as well, but I honestly think this needs to be done on the Republican Party side, on the not even Republican Party, the left wing or the right wing side, where we have someone in these entities in all 50 state capitals doing what the Rooster does, doing what the Ohio Capital Journal does. Because until we do that, we're not going to have an actual media force. You can have as many blogs, as many opinion sites as you want, but until we're actually reporting and getting inside those spaces, we're done. Now, for real this time, the Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, concedes he politicked out of building where he moved his state office. So what happened here is the Ohio Secretary of State filed for Senate, shouldn't do that while holding the Ohio Secretary of State position. He then moved the office of the Secretary of State to the building where he has holding his campaign headquarters. And now, those who don't know who Columbus, and most of the big cities are like this, I believe, a lot of big skyscrapers, a lot of floors, and there's a lot of different things in different buildings. There's 10th floor could be a campaign headquarters, 9th floor could be a taco restaurant, 8th floor could be a Starbucks headquarters, 7th could be, there's a lot of different things. So here is from the Ohio Capital Journal. After months of silence, the Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, this week conceded that he engaged in campaign activity in the same building where he just finished moving his state agency, one that is in charge of conducting Ohio elections. But he hasn't given any further details, nor did he explain why Ohioans should trust him not to politic out of the building as he runs in a three-way U.S. Senate primary that will be held in just 4 months. Adding to the question about the Secretary's forthrightness, his office has stressed that more than $600,000 it will cost to move and refit the new space won't come from taxpayers. The expenses instead will be funded by the fees the Secretary collects from business filings, his office emphasized. It's $100 a business. That adds up really quickly here, but how many businesses would that be? What's 600,000 divided by 100? That is probably 6,000 businesses, I'd guess. Yeah, 6,000. So we might have 6,000 businesses in Ohio. I doubt it. There's 88 counties. That is 68 businesses a county, maybe, but that's over all of time. We collect that money. Why don't we use that money for something else, like pay for roads or pay for decent education, or I don't know. Since both are public funds, many in the public might find that it to be a distinction without a difference. NBC4 in September reported that LaRose was quietly moving the Secretary of State's office from the 180 Broad Street location it had occupied for nearly two decades to one at 200 Civic Center Drive alongside the Scioto Mile. That building also happens to be the house the office is at, which LaRose in July registered a Senate campaign with the Federal Elections Commission. They belong to Baker Hostetler, the law firm representing his campaign. He says he doesn't have a campaign headquarters. He said it was a coincidence. For months, he declined to answer any questions from the NBC4 and the Capital Journal asking whether he had engaged in campaign activities at 200 Civic Center Drive. But he made a video in the building where he was. He was on Steve Bannon's show, which I don't know why Steve Bannon's hosting Frank LaRose.
When some liberal group sent me a letter a couple weeks ago, saying that I should block President Trump from the ballot, my response to them was, hell no.
Right, and he's saying the talking points, whatever. But people said that actually came from the building. So they said he used the meeting space of the law firm. So he doesn't have a campaign headquarters there, but he used the meeting space. Whatever. I mean, I don't like Frank LaRose. And I'm going to say that on this program 10 times out of 10. I've been told not to attack Frank LaRose by many people, and many people I respect. I've been told by many people I respect not to go after Frank LaRose the way I do, because he might be the nominee. If he's the nominee, I will vote for him. If he's not the nominee, he is not. I won't critique him if he's the nominee. I'll give you that. I won't critique him in the way I do right now. I will still point out his flaws, but I won't critique him the way I do now if he is the nominee. I'll give you that right now. But while we're in a primary, while we're deciding who the Republican should be, I'm not going to back this guy. He just doesn't understand this. He has been constantly owned and taken down by the left. I'm tired of it, and he's not going to be able to beat Sherrod Brown the way he's been going. I love Bernie Moreno's campaign, the way they're doing it, and I support Bernie. And the good news out of Ohio, with 3 minutes left in the program, the Ohio Republican Party endorses President Trump. Wrong button. The Ohio Republican Party endorses President Trump. Now, that is not the sound in the room. We have the sound in the room thanks to a person listening right now, Hava, who was there with me today at the meeting. There is a very small but mighty crowd in that room. And they are extremely happy, myself included, about that endorsement coming down. I am very against primary endorsements, and any other primary endorsement I would disagree with. But if we have a guy running for president that is winning by 60 points in every reasonable poll, if there's zero undecided, he's winning by probably, what is it, 50, 40%? This isn't going to be a contested primary, folks. We need to unite behind President Trump. This is more than a Senate race. This is more than a county commissioner's race, more than any other race, where we can't have divisive primaries right now. We need to beat Joe Biden, and Donald Trump's the guy to do that. The first Ohio state party to endorse, or the first state party nationally to endorse is Ohio, and they endorse President Donald J. Trump. And I am so proud. For once, I am proud to be an Ohio Republican. So I'm going to give you a round of applause from my own hands, folks. And I, as I did in the video, we are going to take back this country one state party at a time. In the Ohio, the same group of people, did they endorse Kasich in 2025? ORP endorses Kasich, Ohio. Did they endorse Kasich in 2025? Yeah, they did. Yeah, here we go. The Ohio Republican Party's governing body had voted to endorse John Kasich for president. So, yeah, the same people in January 8th of 2016 that voted to endorse John Kasich are endorsing Donald Trump. Now, obviously, there's a lot of change, a lot of turnover on that board. But the fact we have that much in, what is it, 7 years? That's a good sign. It's slow, but it's progress, and I'm proud of it. We'll be back with you on Monday, folks. Until then, make sure you catch all of our social media, GOP Josh 20. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. If I was in your Spotify Wrapped, if you listen to the show that often I was in your Wrapped, make sure you send it to me, josh@gopjosh.com. Call into the show, leave a voicemail, 57GOPJosh7. Make sure you follow us on X and stay live, so every time we go live, you'll be able to catch it. We'll be right back with you on this upcoming Monday. Hope you have a great weekend, folks. Stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay tuned. This is The Conservative Crusader with GOP Josh.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader.